Chapter 10.
It was about fucking time. The giant had given me a run for my money up until the last, but I'd won out in the end by sheer determination and refusal to quit. I'd always been stubborn, if my mom's endless tirade on the subject was any indication, but it seemed like it was finally beginning to pay off in my favor. I heaved in a deep breath, but the air was thinner higher up, and it was difficult to take in enough oxygen to keep my head from feeling dizzy. The big potion would be wearing off soon, and I needed to tie up the giant before he woke up, so there was no time to waste. My companions rushed forward the instant the giant hit the ground and ceased moving, but they gave the unconscious man a wide berth as they crossed the distance to me. Shelley gripped the handle of her sword as she cast the prone form a sideways glance, but Una hardly gave the massive man a second look as she bounded into my large arms. I scooped her up and brought her to my face, and the purple-blue catgirl's tail swished back and forth while she made a soft purring noise.
"Oh, Alex, that was incredible!"
the affectionate catgirl gasped as she peppered my giant face with kisses. "I'm glad you liked it," I chuckled as I tolerated the shower of love. I'd grown more accustomed to Una's lavish displays of affection over the last couple of weeks, and I enjoyed it immensely. But there was still work to be done, so I placed her on her feet and gently tweaked her nose with my giant finger. "Time to fetch the rope we brought with us." Una nodded before she turned to the rest of our companions, and everyone slung their packs from their shoulders to withdraw the long lengths of rope we'd brought with us.
"At first, I questioned your reasoning in having everyone bring rope,"
May admitted.
"I see now we may not have enough."
"Oh, I'll make it enough," I promised. May and the cat girl worked together to tie the ends of the rope to each other, and then they presented me with a bundle that was plenty long enough to restrain the giant tightly. The dodo woman was dwarfed by the tendrils hanging from her shoulders, so I relieved her of the load and moved over to where the giant laid snoring. "Keep dreaming, big guy," I murmured as I moved to his feet. I worked carefully so as not to wake him up before I was ready, and I hitched his feet together before I brought the strand up to connect the rope around his neck. If he struggled, he would end up choking himself, and I had a feeling he wouldn't do it twice. Once the giant was hog-tied on the ground, we went about cleaning up his destroyed campsite. I noticed the massive man shivering in his sleep, so I built the fire back up until the flames were roaring toward the sky, and the giant's shudders ceased. Then I scrounged around in his cave until I found a hunk of meat on a large bone, and my companions helped me situate it over the fire. By the time the giant began to stir, Ida had returned from her messenger mission. The smell of cooking meat permeated the air, and the sun was beginning to dip toward the western horizon. My companions and I warmed our hands over the fire while they ate, but I still towered over everyone, so I wanted to wait until I was a more appropriate size before eating. I caught sight of the giant moving out of the corner of my eye, and I motioned the others into silence as I approached his prone form. The giant groaned as he struggled against the ropes, and his next sound was more gargled and unintelligible than the last, since the strand began to constrict around his neck. "Hey, easy there, buddy," I said in an amused tone. "The more you fight, the tighter that rope around your neck is gonna get, and then it's night-night time for you again."
"You seek to humiliate me!"
The giant glared at me with a look so full of hatred, I felt like I would burst into flames on the spot, but then he spat in my direction. The massive glob of slobber struck the edge of the bonfire, and the flames sputtered beneath the wet onslaught. My companions jumped away from the impact, but a couple of them were splashed with a spray of saliva and soot. They shot angry looks back in the giant's direction, but that merely caused him to smirk. "I don't want to humiliate you," I said, and I crossed my arms over my massive chest. "I told you from the beginning I seek peace. It's not my fault you refused to listen to a single thing I said."
"Well, now I have to listen, don't I?"
the giant growled, and he continued to wrestle against the ropes restraining him. "It will go a lot smoother if you calm down and act right," I recommended with a wry smirk. "The more you struggle, the more pain you'll be in, and I don't think you'll be the most talkative person in that scenario." The giant glared at me, but he ceased his movements, so I crossed the distance to him and sat cross-legged before him. His hair hung over his face, so it was difficult to see his expression clearly. But I sensed an air of submission about him, so I leaned in to flash him a friendly smile. "I won that match fair and square. I gave you multiple opportunities to stand down and talk, and I warned you what would happen if you didn't listen. This is your final chance. Show me why I shouldn't just leave you tied up like this forever. It solves my problems.
You tricked me!
The giant man roared, and my hair blew back away from my face as the hot air gushed toward me.
You think you're better than me?
Dude, just because I'm the dreamer doesn't mean I'm better than anyone. It just grants me certain abilities, and I'd be a fool not to take advantage of them. I mean, you mean to tell me you wouldn't help people if you were me? The giant considered this for a moment, and I could see the muscle in his jaw working overtime as he ground his teeth together. But finally, he tilted his head to the side.
I help people by staying far away from them. No one wants me around. I break everything. This is the last place I can live.
We can find a way for you to live in peace, I promised, but I wasn't sure exactly how to do that just yet. I'd promised the mole people I would get the giant to stop trampling over their fragile tunnels, but the digger's territory stretched for miles. I couldn't keep the giant prisoner in his own cage, but I wasn't familiar with the land on the other side of the Sunrise Mountains. Maybe they were uninhabited. I remembered my trip across the desert to reach the Field of Tulips, and I tried to conjure images of what laid on the eastern side of there, but nothing came to mind. I made a mental note to explore it more later, but in the meantime, I needed to find some agreeable terms for the giant. The giant stared at me with an unreadable expression on his face, so I waited patiently for him to speak. I'd said my piece, and he could either accept his defeat or struggle himself back into unconsciousness.
You have won this time,
the giant muttered after several long moments filled with silence.
I am thoroughly defeated, and I realize now you are indeed the dreamer.
My name is Alex, I said, as I tried to subtly let out a low exhale full of relief. It was quite the breakthrough, considering how hostile the giant had been when he'd first woken up, but I had no intention of squandering the gift. And I'm from a place called Earth.
I've never heard of Earth,
the giant replied in a thoughtful tone.
I come from the land overrun by the Queen of Diamonds. But I cannot go back there. Only death and nightmares await.
Well, shit. What's your name? The giant thought about this for a long moment, and he tilted his head from one side to the other.
It is hard for me to remember what I was once called. It has been so long since anyone has called me anything.
Then you get a chance to rebrand yourself with whatever name you'd like. You get to pick, and none will be the wiser.
Then you can call me Grog,
the giant said, and he moved as though he intended to shake my hand, but the ropes held him firmly in place. It's nice to meet you, Grog, I said with a dip of my head. I'm not quite ready to untie you yet, but after we chat for a while, who knows? Then I turned and introduced the rest of my companions, and my animal people warriors approached the giant one at a time before bowing low and respectfully before him. I was proud of their strong backs and straight shoulders, and my chest puffed out as I presented the final member of our party, May. The dodo woman swept out the tails of her coat before she flourished down into a low, one-legged bow. And she even pulled her tri-cornered hat from her head in a show of total respect.
You have good people.
Grug's eyes were brighter when they returned to my face, and I couldn't help the smile that stretched my lips into my cheeks. Totally, I agreed easily. But I'd like to add you to them. If you agree to be my ally, you'd be under my protection and able to come to me for help with just about anything.
I swore I'd never be ruled by a man or woman ever since the destruction of my village,
the giant man said as he shook his head sadly.
All my family, my friends, everyone is gone, and I can only assume I would threaten any others who came into contact with me. The Queen of Diamonds isn't like the Queen of Clovers. She will hunt me down eventually.
There were more queens out there than I first thought, but it made sense. A deck of cards had four suits in it, so it was logical for each suit to have its own queen and territory. Still, if she was a minion of darkness, then she was my enemy. And the enemy of my enemy was my friend. We need to become allies, I said with a hopeful tone. I could help you, and I wouldn't be afraid to stand by your side when it really counts. Do you know of anyone else who could have taken you down so easily?
Anyone with a big potion could match me in size,
the giant man grumbled, but I held his gaze with a stern look, and he eventually flicked his eyes to the ground.
You did good, I'll give you that. You'd make a strong friend, Alex the Dreamer. But what's in it for me?
I plan on taking back all the land from the minions of darkness that plague us, I said, and I could feel the fire burning in my blood at the mere thought of emerging triumphant from a face-off against the Dark King. I am the Dreamer of Prophecy, and if there's anyone who can do it, it's me. But I can't do it alone. I've helped the people of New Haven, and I can help you too, if you'll let me.
You talk a big game. But you still have yet to face the opposition effects. Once you're tiny and puny, I could squash you like a bug.
I won't be suffering from the opposition effects, and you know it, I grinned. Everyone knows the prophecy song. May and Una opened their mouths like they were about to burst into song, but I gave them a subtle shake of my head to silence them. This was between Grug and me, and I needed to get his allegiance on my own. Grug watched the exchange silently, but he met my gaze with confidence before he nodded.
I know the song.
Free from opposition's might? I pressed as I arched one eyebrow. They aren't just words. They're true.
Lucky.
Grug muttered with a shake of his head that tightened the cord around his neck ever so slightly. The giant man immediately ceased his movements, and he shot a glare in my direction.
Think you could loosen the one around my neck, at least.
Sure. Just as soon as you agree not to harm anyone present, the instant I give you some slack.
I won't hurt you. You have my word.
All right. I nodded and pushed myself to my feet. A moment later, I'd loosened the ropes just enough so as not to strangle Grug every time he moved, but not loose enough to be concerned he might get free. I wasn't ready for that level of trust just yet. There, I said, with an incline of my head. Now, what would I have to do to get you to be on my side? The legions of darkness are coming, my friend, and even if you are a big, strong, independent man, there is still safety in numbers. I resisted the urge to snap my fingers back and forth when I caught my own sassy tone, but I settled for a self-satisfied smirk instead.
You might be free from opposition's might,
Grug growled with a shake of his head.
But I am not. I am stuck in this too big shape, and no one will accept me the way I am. If only I could get a tiny potion.
You're suffering from opposition effects. I tilted my head to the side as I tried to imagine the giant as a much smaller man. Grug looked like a caveman, but that could just be from the lifestyle he had to adapt in his large form. There wasn't exactly room for him at an inn, after all. However, the potion's side effects wore off after a time. Una's night vision and agility opposition effects had faded after several days, but she'd healed more swiftly after we started making love. My face flushed as I dropped my gaze to the ground. There was no way I was telling the giant there was a possibility I could heal him with my magic sperm, but there had to be another way to help him out.
I drank tiny potions every day for weeks as I escaped the ruins of my village near the Diamond Fortress. I'd shrink each morning, but each night I got a little bit bigger, then even bigger, until I stopped shrinking altogether.
The giant shook his head in a sad manner, and his eyebrows knitted together in despair. He looked pathetic, but I understood tragedy could do that to a man. I had to give him hope somehow, so I swallowed down my pride and cleared my throat. We may find a cure soon, I said in a cautious voice. Grug's eyes leapt to my face, and the skepticism and hope mixed in his gaze tugged at my heartstrings. The world had beaten him down, but even then he clung to a tendril of faith in the dreamer.
Is it true?
Grug's voice was breathless. We're researching further, but it seems being the dreamer comes with certain abilities.
Alex has magic sperm!
Una exclaimed in a compulsive manner. I flashed her an exasperated look, but then I returned my gaze to the giant to judge his reaction. Grug looked back and forth between the two of us for a long moment, and a frown of concentration creased his face like he'd just bitten into a lemon.
How do you use it?
Grug asked at long last. The doctor at New Haven made it into a concoction to be ingested, I said, as I tried to maintain a straight face.
I fuck Alex to get mine,
Una declared.
I take the seed directly from the tree as well,
May added.
Oh, dreamer, why didn't you tell us?
Shelley asked, and she batted her long eyelashes at me. A pit formed in my stomach as I swept my gaze up and down the muscular woman's bulky form, and I swallowed hard as I met her eyes once more. Now's not the time, I murmured, and I waved a dismissive hand. We'll talk more once we get back home and see Dr. Kriya.
I'm in no hurry to drink another man's magic seed. Ugh.
Grug gagged, and he shook his head as much as the rope would allow to emphasize his point.
No way, no how. I'll suffer the opposition for 10 more weeks if I have to.
What if I had my doctor inspect you and figure out some other way to help? I really want to be friends, and I'm afraid this is all I have to offer.
Oh, we can be friends, Dreamer,
the giant said, and he seemed surprised by my question.
You don't have to do anything for me in return.
So you'll avoid the mole people territory whenever possible, I pressed as I held my breath.
I have no idea where that is.
Grug shook his head yet again.
Can you maybe untie me a little more? I said we could be friends.
I was going to be shrinking back to my normal size at any moment, and then Grug would have the clear advantage. But worst case scenario was I would have to come back with a new potion. If he didn't kill me. I will loosen them a little, but I'm not setting you free until I feel I can trust you completely.
Fair enough.
Grug attempted to shrug his shoulders, but the ropes prevented it, and he flashed me a pointed look. All right, I chuckled, as I moved around behind his hunched-over form, and I quickly loosened a few of the knots, keeping his head and shoulders together. I left his wrists bound to his feet, though, and with him being in a cross-legged position, it would be nearly impossible for him to maneuver out of them. Then I returned to my seat in front of him, and we went back to our conversation. The rest of my companions stayed near the fire, but they listened attentively to our exchange, and I knew it would be the gossip of New Haven within hours of our arrival back home. I might as well call for a big meeting and tell everyone myself. There, I said with a friendly smile. How does that feel?
Oh, much better, Dreamer, thank you.
Grug inclined his head, and he didn't move to struggle against his bindings any further. You are very welcome. I mirrored his movement. Now, back to what we were talking about. Greg shuffled in an anxious manner, and the ropes around his wrists tightened ever so slightly, so he halted his movements and sighed.
Where do these mole people even live?
To the west of the mountains. I don't think they go as far north as Havenwood, but they definitely do not go under the mountains.
I cannot survive by staying in the Sunrise Mountains,
Grug argued, and I hated to admit it, but he had a point.
They say I ruined their tunnels.
Yeah, your footsteps have caused a couple of cave-ins, and my companions and I fell through into the mole people territory after we'd killed a bunch of clover cards. It was quite the adventure, but we're lucky none of us were seriously injured. There were mumbles of agreement from my companions around the fire, and Grug's eyes flicked over to the bonfire for a moment before returning to my face.
I'm sorry for the trouble I caused. I didn't mean to make such a ruckus just by walking around. A man has to eat, though, so what am I supposed to do?
Come back to New Haven with us. Let my doctor look at you and experiment with our cure. You could be back to your normal size faster than you think, but you have to agree to stay off the mole people's territory in the meantime.
I will agree to walk more softly. I cannot promise to stay off the land entirely, since I don't even know where it is exactly. You have to understand, Dreamer, what you're asking for is close to impossible. I don't know where their tunnels are.
That's why you must allow us to try our cure. My eyes held his with a serious expression. My doctor is trustworthy and as sharp as a knife. If anyone can figure out how to heal your opposition effects, it's her.
Hear, hear!
May called from behind me, and the rest of my companions quickly echoed her call. Grug grunted as he thought this over, but he didn't say anything else, so I tried my best to be patient. Finally, I could take it no more, and I cleared my throat to get his attention once more. I made a promise to the mole people, and I'm not leaving here until I can say it's fulfilled.
You've stated your case as plain as day,
Grug allowed in a cautious tone.
But I have nothing to go on but your word. I only just met you, and you've beaten me once already. I'm in no hurry to make you an enemy.
Good, I grinned. All you have to do is agree to stay in the mountains until we find a proven cure. Grug held my gaze for a long, silent moment while we locked wills, but I held my own as I gritted my teeth with determination, and at long last, he dropped his eyes to the dirt between us.
All right, dreamer,
the giant man said, and his shoulders slumped in defeat.
I will stay in the mountains until you get me back to my normal size.
Awesome. I leaned forward to clap the big man on the shoulder, but as I did so, I noticed my hand beginning to shrink. I was returning to my normal size. I will help you however I can, I promised, while I could still look the big man in the eyes. But my main goal is to defeat the Dark King once and for all, so there may come a day when I call upon you to help me in return.
I will add my arms to your warriors,
Grug agreed with a nod.
The Dark King cannot stand against your might for long.
Not with all the people of all the land united behind me, I said. I continued to grin as I went to untie the giant man, and he smiled gratefully when the ropes fell away from his body. Grug rubbed his wrists gingerly, and he stretched his arms across his chest. I waited until he finished working out the kinks from his muscles, and he completed the routine by cracking the bones of his neck.
Much better. Now, how much of my food did you eat?
Not much. Our stomachs are much smaller than yours, and I opted out for the moment.
The dreamer wasn't hungry after our fight.
Grug sounded disappointed. I didn't want to have giant indigestion later when I returned to my normal size. As if on cue, I shrank a little more, and Grug noticed. The giant man narrowed his eyes, but I could tell he was trying not to react. I'll be back to normal soon, I said in a casual voice. But that doesn't change the terms of our agreement. If I have to teach you another lesson, it will be the most painful one you've ever survived.
That is saying a lot, dreamer. I've endured plenty.
Should I return with another big potion to prove my point? I crossed my arms and arched my eyebrows.
There is no need,
Grug said in a hurried tone.
I will serve you obediently from here on out. I wish to see the end of the Dark Wave, and you are the only person who could possibly make that happen.
That's good to hear, Grug, I said, and I shrank a little bit more. I'm going to be returning home soon, but you're welcome to come with us to meet the doctor. I'm sure she'll have a lot of questions for you, but we'll feed you too.
I will come with you,
the giant said with a thoughtful nod.
I would like to meet this doctor you speak so highly of, and I have a few questions to ask her myself.
I can't guarantee you a bed in the hospital, but you're welcome to stay in our big open cavern. You'll at least be part of the community.
It has been a while since I have been allowed in a town,
Grug informed me in a wistful tone.
It will be nice to hear laughter and the sounds of children playing.
We've got that in spades. Let's kill this fire and pack up what we can.
Yes, sir, dreamer,
Grug replied with a snappy salute. My companions and I assisted the giant as he moved about his campsite gathering his things. He had the fur of the sniffer snatcher I'd killed the first time I'd drunk a big potion, but I'd stolen the tail from the frame while the giant was sleeping. I'd managed to snag some of his saliva, too, and knocked off two ingredients in one stop. I'd had no idea the kinds of trauma Grug had been through at the time, but it was just as well. I'd been a little overwhelmed by having the leadership of the animal people thrust upon me without any warning or training, but now that I was accustomed to it, it seemed a simple enough thing to include one more person. Ida, I called to the crow woman, once we'd emptied the campsite of everything Grug could carry on his back. I need you to fly to the mole people and summon one of their people to act as an ambassador. Tell them the giant has come to terms and we seek an alliance with Amon.
Yes, dreamer,
the bird woman replied, and she lifted her wing to her forehead in her version of a salute. Isabel, I said, as I gestured for the beaver woman to come to me, and she quickly obeyed. Run ahead to New Haven until everyone were on our way. Have Miss Maggie start preparing as much food as possible. I want Grug's belly filled to the brim before the night is through.
Yes, Dreamer,
Isabel replied, and she was off with a flap of her broad, flat tail. Then I turned to Una and May, and I gestured for my two lovers to come into my arms. The girls flocked obediently to my sides, and they buried their faces into my chest as I squeezed them in my arms. We're about to have an unstoppable army, I said with a shit-eating grin. Between the Mole People Warriors and the Giant, there's no amount of Clover cards that could keep us away from the Clover Fortress. We'll defeat the Queen, take over the castle, and move on to anyone else standing between me and the Dark King.
You are terrifyingly powerful. I will follow you into the darkness to the very heart of the shadows. Together, we will plunge the blade of righteousness into the beating heart of evil and twist.
You're so weird, and I love it.
I cannot wait until all the land is rid of the darkness forever,
Una said, as she fluttered her impossibly long, dark eyelashes at me.
Then we can spend all day fucking.
That sounds like a dream come true, I agreed, and I couldn't resist planting a kiss upon her lips. A short while later, my companions, the Giant and I, were headed back to New Haven, minus the two runners I'd sent in the opposite directions. Ida returned before we arrived back at the caves, and the Crow Woman panted for breath as she landed on a boulder up ahead of us. What's new, Ida? I called when I was within hearing range.
The Mole People send a delegation,
Ida answered in a breathless voice.
They wish you to halt any plan-making until they arrive.
Any idea who they're sending? My heart thudded in my chest. If it was Uwu, we'd be in bad shape, but I didn't think the aggressive and volatile Mole Warrior would do anything without his leader's command.
Two was among the warriors' delegation,
Ida said, and she flashed me a pleased smile. Oh, awesome, I sighed. I could handle two. The older mole man was wise and had the ability to listen to reason, unlike the foolish Uwu. I wondered how long it would take the Mole People delegation to arrive in New Haven, and I was surprised they'd agreed so easily, considering their abhorrence for the edge of the world, as they called the mountains. Still, it was a momentous occasion, and all the more reason to throw a massive feast to celebrate all the changes happening in all the land. The Dark King wouldn't know what hit him until it was too late, and by then the Dreamer would emerge victorious to free the land from his reign of shadows. I was lost in thought when the skull-like opening to New Haven appeared before us, but the Giant's gasp of awe pulled me back into the present moment.
I had no idea this was so close,
Grug mused as he peered inside the humongous initial cavern.
This is way nicer than my cave.
I wasn't going to say anything, but I agree with you. That's why I wanted you to join us here, Grug. If your movements are going to be restricted for the time being, then you might as well exist in a more comfortable situation, right?
I am inclined to agree with Alex. Here you will have companionship and camaraderie. We sing many a night and the giggle juice flows freely.
A crowd of New Haveners poured from the back entrance of the front cavern to greet us, and Grug shrank away with an anxious expression. Give me a moment to say hello to everyone, I requested, as I flashed him an encouraging smile, and I gestured for him to stop. And then I'll introduce you.
Alex, yoo-hoo, Dreamer!
Ms. Maggie hollered over the heads of the animal people crowding around me in an effort to shake my hand or clap me on the shoulder. Everyone glanced at the Giant in a very obvious manner. But no one dared comment on his appearance. They knew I would explain when the timing was right, but they also wouldn't let me wait forever before they started to press the issue out of me. I hadn't exactly planned on bringing the Giant Man back to New Haven with me, but I didn't regret the decision in the slightest. It was just as I'd told Grug. There were safety in numbers. Then I crossed the distance to Miss Maggie, and the pig lady gave me a warm hug. She smelled of wood smoke and roasted vegetables, and a sheen of sweat covered her face. Did Isabel tell you about the feast? I said without preamble.
Yes, she arrived a short while before you,
Miss Maggie said, and her eyebrows shot up in alarm.
What is so urgent about this meal, eh, Dreamer?
The Mole People are sending a delegation to negotiate an alliance, and Grug is staying here with us until Dr. Kriya can heal his opposition effects.
You mean he is not naturally enlarged?
Miss Maggie's eyes flitted to the Giant, where he stood scuffling his bare big toe into the dirt of the cavern floor. He drank tiny potions for weeks when he was escaping his homeland. I'm not sure how much longer the effects will last, but they're not showing any signs of going away. Until they do, he's going to have a giant of an appetite, and I agreed to help feed him.
We will all starve in the meantime.
Miss Maggie huffed as her eyebrows rose into her hairline.
There is no way we can feed so many and so large of a man without the magic of the Havenwood Kitchen.
We need to talk to the mole people about their mushrooms. They were the best thing I'd tasted since the Havenwood Kitchen made me Fruit Loops.
Very well, Dreamer,
Miss Maggie said, with a bob of her head.
I will do as you say and prepare a large feast. Shall I add bugs to the menu for the mole people?
Oh, I'm sure they would appreciate it, I said, and I flashed her a broad smile. It looked like they grilled them, but you do whatever you feel will make them taste good.
Ugh, they're bugs,
Miss Maggie pointed out, and she crossed her arms over her ample chest.
Nothing I do to them will make them taste good.
Just do your best. I need to get Grog settled in.
Very well, Dreamer.
Miss Maggie bowed her head, and she swiveled on her feet and disappeared into the crowd. It was a few hours later when the Mole People delegation showed up, and I greeted Two and his warriors with respectful bows before I gave them a tour of the New Haven caves. The mole warriors eyed the giant with obvious trepidation, but Grog met their gaze calmly, and they eventually looked away. I led them all to the long wooden table we'd set up for just this purpose, and everyone kneeled on low cushions scattered around the edge of the surface. Dishes of all sorts were piled along the length of the wood, and everyone present was drooling over one thing or another. There were a variety of bugs for the mole people, huge chunks of meat for the giant, and spaghetti noodles with a savory red sauce, and I eyed everything hungrily as I waited for the others to get comfortable. I took my place at the head of the table, and I clapped my hands twice to get everyone's attention. But before I could open my mouth to speak, a bird woman shrieked as she dove from the entrance in the peak.
Dreamer!
I leapt to my feet and rushed toward the flying bird woman, and it only took me a moment to take in the look of sheer horror on her face. What is it? I asked, as my heart pounded out a drumbeat against the inside of my ribcage.
Nightmare hounds!
The bird woman scout gasped.
In the mountains nearby!
My blood ran cold as I imagined this new enemy. The nightmares themselves were terrifying enough, but in the shape of a deadly hound? How did we stand a chance against that?
What should we do, Dreamer?
The bird woman asked me with a desperate look.
Should we run?
No, I said with a firm shake of my head. I'm the Dreamer. I don't run. We're going to stand our ground, and we'll fight if it comes down to it.
But the feast!
Miss Maggie argued.
It's all right,
Dr. Kreas said, as she laid a comforting hand on her friend's arm.
He needs to do his job as the Dreamer. The Nightmare Hounds will sniff us out if we do nothing.
I have to be honest. I sighed as I raked a hand through my hair. I have no idea how to combat a Nightmare Hound.
I didn't even know they were real!
Una exclaimed, and her eyes were wide with fear. No worries, babe, I said with my most comforting smile. I got this. I'm the Dreamer, right? Isn't there a line in the prophecy song about me destroying nightmares? Maybe there's something I still need to figure out.
Your powers are without limit, but you cannot leave after only just returning. Send me in your stead.
Me too,
Una added with a decisive nod. Fuck no, I snorted as I shook my head. I'm not going to let you go alone. None of us are going anywhere until we have a plan. We still need an army, and the only way we're going to get one is if I talk to everyone myself. Nightmare hounds or no, I'm still the Dreamer. I meant every word. There was no way I was going to let some scary dog creatures get the best of me. I was the Dreamer of prophecy, and the people of all the land were counting on me. I wasn't going to let them down.